Good evening, folks, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. We are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. And it has been a typical summer day. We had rain today, and thankful for it. Even though we're haying, hey, that's all right. The grass, the ground, the hay will dry out enough to get it raked and baled in another day or two, and that's okay. We're thankful for the rain. You know, there are those that are praying for relief, praying for rain, just south of us down in Colorado. We'll talk to you about that. Saw that in our little regional magazine today, The Fence Post, that came in this week, praying for relief, and they show that. And, you know, there's some people that aren't ashamed to pray, and we sure are not ashamed to pray. We're not ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ. We're told not to be ashamed of him, that if we're ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of us. And, you know, I thought we'd talk about that a little bit tonight. And we'll have the phone lines open in a little bit, but want to open up with prayer. And we do want to encourage you folks that are tuning in to pray for Dr. Dan. Keep him in your prayers. Had to get him rushed back to the ICU today and doing some MRIs and different things. We've sure prayed for God to be with him there in that hospital. So just don't know if it's, you know, he's had some strokes and brain aneurysm, and so just don't know exactly what it is. So again, if you tuned in with us last night on the Wednesday night prayer meeting, we kind of gave an update then. Don't really have any new updates now, other than just been a rough day for him, a tough day for him and for the family, and so we do ask that you would keep him in your prayers, and keep Jason and his family in your prayers as well, that God's peace would be upon them. And they're praying for God's perfect will to be done. You know, I want Dr. Dan healed. I'd sure like to see him just healed, and it be an amazement to the doctors that are there, and that they would be converted, that it wouldn't glorify us, that it wouldn't glorify Dan, that it would glorify Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. That's our desire. But we know God's perfect will, and that's what we pray will be done. But we sure can let God know what we would like. And even though he knows our needs, we can sure bring him before him. And let's do that now. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, in humility, Lord, in humbleness, awed by your Lord, just all that you do for us, that you went to the cross to save us from our sins, to redeem us, that, Lord Jesus, you gave your life for me, to save me from my sins and my sicknesses, Lord. It's hard to believe that. It's hard to fathom it. But, Lord, we believe it because your word says so, and we thank you for that. Lord, I come tonight, Lord, speaking, I know, for many of the remnant, saying thank you for this day of life you've given us, Lord. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, I ask you to be with me here tonight on this broadcast as we fellowship with each other, Lord, you and us, and Lord, as we fellowship with the remnant as they listen in, and some will probably call in tonight, Lord. And we thank you for that sweet fellowship that you give us. Well, Lord, it's heavy on our heart tonight, Lord, for Dr. Dan, who's helped so many, Lord. He's helped so many in the physical, and Lord, he loves you, and he has an urging, Lord. He's always had a desire to help your people, Lord, to bless them and to bless you with, Lord, getting people back on track nutritionally and being able to, Lord, to help them physically without going to the pharmakia of the world. So, Lord, he has helped so many, Lord, in returning to health. And, Lord, we pray for your help to be upon him tonight, that you would be with him, that you would send your ministering angels to be with him and to strengthen him. Lord, whatever damage has been done by this stroke or aneurysm, Lord, it is nothing too great for you, Lord. We know that. You designed our bodies, Lord. You designed Dan's, and Lord, you've had him as a help for your people. Lord, again, we pray your help and your health to be upon him. We speak your health and healing into his body, Lord, that he's a part of the body of Christ. Lord, we'd sure like to see him healed. And just, Lord, let a rejuvenation come upon him. From the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, Lord, specifically any areas in the brain or in his in his body anywhere, Lord, if there's blockage, whatever it may be. Father, we just pray your total health and healing on him. In the name of Jesus Christ and to the glory of Jesus Christ, we pray this. We thank you for hearing and answering our prayers, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And you know, we are to pray. Psalms 96 says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. And we are to do that. We don't do that enough. We don't pray enough. You know, we do encourage you to take time out of your week to join us on the Wednesday night prayer meeting. It takes dedication to do that. And saying, you know, I'm just going to do it. Maybe you haven't done it in the past. Well, put it on your calendar for next Wednesday night to join us. And it's something that is pleasing to God. And, you know, you get a great fringe benefit out of it. Okay? That's how God works. You know, God knows that. Let me read a couple verses here. We read this last night, but let me turn over to it because I want to read it again, and I'll get to it here in a second. There's James. I want to go there, but I want to go to Hebrews first. And Hebrews, and this is talking about perks and fringe benefits. We kind of mentioned it a little bit last night, I think, on the Wednesday night program. But Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him, meaning God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and we do believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. See, God rewards those that will seek him. God is a rewarder of those that will do their best to turn away from the desires of the flesh, to turn away from the lusts of the world, the ways of the world, and, as it says in Hebrews 11:6, seek him. Doesn't say find him. Doesn't say become perfect. Doesn't say never had, you know, he's a rewarder of those that never have any sin or problems in their life. He is a rewarder of those who seek him. And then it goes on and talks about all those who by faith sought God, who turned away from the world and did that. It talks about Abraham. It talks about Noah. It talks about, you know, Isaac and Moses and just on and on. This is the Faith Hall of Fame here. But we have to remember, and I think how it applies to us today is that without faith it's impossible to please him. And we know faith is, as it says in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And so that assurance we talk about, or substance of things hoped for. You know, we can hope for, and we do hope for health and healing for Dr. Dan. And we have faith that he will be healed, that he will be restored. We have conviction along those lines because well, it's our desire. We see it in the Word. We know that our Lord wants us to be healthy and whole and walking in him. That's our desire for Dan. And for each and every one of us, we have to remember what it says here in Hebrews 11:6, that he, God, is a rewarder of those who seek him. Now, we're not quite to... we're still in Romans in our Bible reading plan. Actually, in 1 Corinthians starting today. Maybe we'll get to that, because that 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I read it today, and it is encouraging. It is. It is for us today. But we have to remember that God is a rewarder of those who seek him, who can put away self and say, well, Lord, I know that the guys want me to go out on Wednesday night when the prayer meeting is, and I got other stuff to do. I work all day and my family and this. And, you know, we're all that way. You know, we have those same things here at the Radio Ranch. John has those same things. Our brother Tim that joined us, he works all the time. Got his garden going good. It needs his attention for that hour on Wednesday night. And I know the brethren that call in and the brethren that take time on Wednesday night to join us on that Wednesday night prayer meeting, guess what? You're trying to seek Him, and you will be rewarded for that. And you know, sometimes it doesn't seem like it, but that's what the Word says. God is a rewarder of those who seek Him. One way you can seek Him, well, one way you can fulfill the law of Christ is to share one another's burdens. And what better way to share one another's burdens than to pray for one another? And you know, it's hard to pray for someone if you don't love them. Those two kind of go hand in hand. And the more you pray for someone, the more you'll realize that you do love them. You may not love them at first, but that comes in time. And then the fringe benefits. Oh, He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. One way you can seek Him is to fulfill His law by sharing one another's burdens. One way you do that is to pray for one another. And so let's go to James 5, and here comes the fringe benefit. We'll start in verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. And verse 16, therefore confess your sins to one another, and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. Now, maybe I'm misunderstanding that. I don't think so. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. See, that's called a perk. That's a fringe benefit. How about that? That's a blessing. That's a promise from God. And so, if you want to be healed, pray for one another. You want to be healed? Tune in on Wednesday night and pray with us as we pray for the saints. And healing will come to you. I guarantee it. How do I know? Because the Bible tells me so. Right there. See, that's what the glory of the Scriptures, the simplicity of the gospel. God is a rewarder of those who seek Him. And James 5:16 is one of the many ways that He rewards those. Not those that become perfect, but those that seek Him. Now that was totally, we'll say thank you, Holy Spirit, for that, because I wasn't planning on going that tonight to there tonight, but I think that it applies. Maybe I needed to hear it. Maybe I needed to hear it. That's probably what it was. We have to remember to we are a praying people. We are to be a praying people. We can pray. You know, David in the Psalms prayed. Oh, he prayed. When the enemies would come against him, oh, he would pray. That's what most of the Psalms are. As he says, oh, but I have prayer. I will be found in prayer. And praise the Lord, he did. Praise the Lord, he did. And we should remember that that's what we are to do, is to be a praying people. And you know, sometimes we just have to be reminded of that. In our Bible reading plan is Psalms 100, and I flipped over there. Let me go back. Psalms 100 and 101 and 102 today. Not gonna read them, but I'm going to encourage you to. I read them this morning. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. You know, I sure do my best to serve the Lord with gladness. But that scripture's just not for me out here at Scriptures for America Ministry. It's not just for John or for Jason. It's for all of us to serve the Lord with gladness wherever we're at, whatever we may be called to do. It may be just called to give an encouraging word to the lady in the checkout line. It may be called to perform a funeral for a grieving family, wherever you're at. It might be Kalamazoo, Michigan, or Tampa, Florida, or anywhere in between. but we are to serve the Lord with gladness. One way we can do that, and we get benefits from it for doing it. Hey, if we will serve Him with gladness and pray for His people, we get rewarded for that. When we turn away from the wickedness of the world, and oh, it's wicked out there. I had some current events to talk to you about. You know, a good Samaritan down in South Carolina pulls over a couple of teenagers, run their borrowed, he didn't know it, stolen car into a ditch. He pulls over to help them, and they reward him by shooting him and killing him. They're all black. What does it matter? The sin in the land, the crime, oh, it's horrible today. It is absolute lawlessness. We shall shout joyfully to the Lord and serve Him with gladness. And you know, if you're afflicted, if you have affliction in your life, Psalms 102 is for you. It's a prayer of the afflicted when you're faint. And when you can, it reminds you, you can pour out your heart, your sorrows, your trials, your tribulations. You can pour them out to the Lord. Psalms 102 is for you. That is one of the places that there is that comfort, that peace that surpasses all understanding, that is there for the Christian. So if you do have affliction, there's comfort there. Read and pray Psalms 102. We encourage you to do that. Well, folks, we have the phone lines open tonight. Maybe you don't want to hear me talk all night, but if you have a comment or a question, you can give us a call, 307-745-5913. And talking about praying, we get a little catalog. Oh, it's really a little local agricultural bulletin type of thing, magazine. It's got more ads in it than just about anything else. But part of it in there, it has, you know, articles that are local, Colorado, Nebraska, Wyoming, and it's called the Fence Post. We get it here. We've gotten it for years. But on the cover of the August 15th, and I'll make a copy and send it to you if you'd like it, but the cover says Praying for Relief. And it's got an older gentleman on here. I don't know him. He's a farmer down in Colorado. Dave Petracco, he's got a field down in La Salle, Colorado, and he lost about 400 acres of his crop due to hailstorms. And you know, I didn't realize it till I read this, because you don't get it on the news. But boy, Colorado has been devastated in July and August from these hailstorms. And corn and soybeans and wheat, all kind of stuff have been hammered. But on the cover of this, here's Mr. Dave. He's got his hands together. Now, he's still got his hat on, but he's got his hands together, and that's the caption, Praying for Relief. Because, see, there are still some of those out there, and some in the agricultural community here local, that understand that with commodity prices rising, and the storms that have come, the hail and the wind, and, you know, the it's been either drought or flood in the agricultural market around here lately. And then when you read about it on the inside, it says on the cover, farmers in Nebraska and Colorado, like Mr. Dave, fight against the weather and the market. Maybe part of that is praying. Part of it is. And, you know, you read through the article, and it doesn't give, I'll grant you that, it doesn't give you a whole lot about prayer. But what it does do is it lets you know that's what they are doing. That they have been praying. Anyway, caught my eye. Hey, I'll make you a copy and send it to you if you like. Can't send you the whole magazine. I'm still using it, looking through, seeing what hay prices are and what the cattle market's doing. And we that's why we get it in. Is just to kind of see, and we don't think we'll have to buy any hay this year. We're a working cattle ranch out here, and it's hay season, and so we're out. We've got some people over helping us cut some hay and get some hay put up, but we get this little fence post, and You know, and I encourage you, this is local here, but in most communities all around the country, I know down in Florida and the Carolinas and different places, they have the little local agricultural weeklies, you know, the little magazines that come out. And I encourage it. You know, I think it's worth it. I think we pay $30 or $40 a year for this to get it mailed to us, and it's worth it. Many times you can see what's going on locally a little more so than you get from the mainstream media. And so I encourage you, folks, wherever you're at across the country, Illinois, California, New York, Maine, Vermont, Connecticut, down south, I know, Louisiana, Texas, they have the local little periodicals, the local agricultural papers. I encourage you to get that, to read up on it. See what's going on cattle-wise. You know, one big thing that's going on that not many people know is that the U.S. market has now opened up, and they call it import-export relationships with Brazil for the cattle market. And, you know, you got some people saying this is the craziest thing I've ever heard of. But the cattle market, we've opened it up to where they can now bring in fresh and frozen beef from Brazil. And so the Food Safety and Inspection Service has approved Brazil to ship fresh beef to the U.S. Now, you might think, well, we import and export everything else. What's the problem? Well, I can tell you this. Anytime we import something into this country, two things are going to happen. One, the producers that produce it here in this country, their prices, what they make is going to go down because it's cheaper to do it overseas. One reason is there's no inspections or very few limited inspections. And an article here in last week's Fence Post, and it talks about world of beef. But it lets us know, because you don't see it on the news out there. Oh, no, you know, what Oprah's doing this week and Hillary's emails, that's much more important than our beef supply, than our food in this country. But let's open up the country and let all the beef, fresh beef from Brazil come in. One big thing calls for that is a great concern is there's a thing here called hoof and mouth disease. It's highly contagious, or foot and mouth disease, not hoot. They call it foot. Foot and mouth, used to call it hoof and mouth disease. And it's very contagious. It's very deadly. The animals get it. They have to be destroyed. It's been eradicated here in the United States. But it has not been eradicated in other third world countries, such as Brazil. And you may think, well, we can trust the U.S. government and the federally inspected, the one federal inspector down there in Brazil to inspect and make sure that it doesn't get up here, right? Sure. If you believe that, I got a bridge in Brooklyn I'll sell you as well. Foot and mouth disease would be absolutely devastating to California. That's a quote from a Cattlemen's Association director out in California. And so, cheap beef, that's what we want. You know, we think cheap cars, everything else has moved out of the country. We shipped all our scrap iron to China and Japan. They turn it into more junk and send it back to us. Well, we'll just see how this works. I'm sure against it. I think it is one of the craziest things we've ever heard. You know, we do our best to raise our own beef out here at the Radio Ranch, and I encourage you folks, wherever you're at, to look for local. I don't raise enough here to supply everybody, to supply you. We sure don't. We have a very small operation out here and barely raise enough to, you know, help cover the taxes and maybe a little beef in our freezer. But I encourage you folks, find local producers. There's somebody, I guarantee you, just about anybody listening, there's somebody within 50 miles that raises beef. that you could go talk to that raises it. And that's another reason for these little local agricultural papers. They usually have a really good, in the back, a really good classified section. If you're looking for hay, if you're looking for corn, whatever. But there's usually places in there, too, where you can buy, and they will advertise there, ranch-raised, local-raised beef. Okay? Lambs, sheep. That's clean meat to eat. It's a lot better than the pork that's advertised that's up for sale. And so I encourage you to do that. It's part of, it's just part of some of the things Dr. Dan's directed us to, eat healthy. And of course, our pastor pushed it and promoted it, and so we do need to eat healthier as a people and to try to support each other better financially. And part of that is, I'm led to share this with you, is to look locally at farmers, at ranchers, in your area. You don't have to try to get it from me. We can't raise enough. But look in your area, folks, for that type of thing. And you might think, what's this got to do with the Bible? Well, if you love your neighbor, if you want to fulfill the law of Christ, one way you can do it is be concerned for them. Share their burdens. More people, more local people, more of our people would raise and sell local beef if more of our people would buy it, if more of our people would search them out. We have locally, we raise eggs. We have chickens. We don't raise eggs. We raise chickens. We have, a couple dozen chickens. And my son Caleb, he'll be 12 tomorrow. That's his responsibility. I bought these chickens and put them on as 3-day-old ones last year in the spring, and we've raised them, and we get eggs out of it, and sometimes we have an abundance. We're able to take them to the church and to share them with people there and have them available there, and we've done that with some neighbors. We've swapped out some eggs for lettuce and coleslaw and zucchinis that neighbors have raised in their garden. That's what we need to be doing. And it seems like maybe a really simplistic thing, but our people don't do that anymore. It's almost like they've forgotten. They've forgotten to talk to the neighbors. They've forgotten to share. We have forgotten, I have at times, to share one another's burdens. And to me, it fits in. Even if it's something as simple as looking locally for food. What are you going to do when you hit the grocery store and there's not any food up there? Or it gets so expensive you can't afford it. And so, I understand that we can't always raise our own food. We can't garden out here. We probably could. I'd need a greenhouse. But we don't really... we don't really garden out here, but we have neighbors that do, and we're able to work with them a little bit and trade out a little bit, and it lets us open up conversations with neighbors, gives us opportunities to talk, to share the blessings that God has given us. It gives us an opportunity to share their burdens. We have a neighbor, we've traded some stuff out of her garden, and over the last couple years, we've been able to share Jesus Christ with her. We've been able to pray with them. We've had them ask us for prayer. We've asked them for prayer. And we've seen them grow in Christ. It's been a great thing. As a people, we need to get back to that. I think that's part of seeking Him. We will be rewarded for it, says the Word. But we are to share one another's burdens. We're to not just think of ourselves, but to love our neighbor as ourselves. Where have we heard that before? Well, the phone lines are open, folks. 307-745-5913. 307-745-5913. If you do want to call in this 18th day of August, hard to believe that August is over halfway through as well. But, hey, praise the Lord. He knows what he's doing. And I've had a couple reports for some brethren down in Louisiana where all the flooding's going on that they're high and dry and have been delivered through it. Haven't really heard of any requests from any of our church body or extended congregation needing any help down there. I'd encourage you, if you hear of somebody needing some help, being in dire straits down there, by all means, give us a call, let us know, send us an email. Our email is preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org. And you can send us an email if you know of anybody in need down there. We haven't heard of a need, but we do have people in the area. And they might be able to help out some, or we might be able to help out from here. Don't know. Haven't heard of a need. Did want to read a little bit out of 1 Corinthians. It's where we're at in our Bible reading plan. And, we have to remember my Bible at the top of it, where it says Corinthians, it says the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. And we know that that's what this is. This is a letter of Paul to the church of God, which is at Corinth, which is verse 2. And so that's what it is. And sometimes we've forgotten that these New Testament, these letters that we have, these books in the New Testament, that's what many of these are. And I think it does us good to think of those and to remember that's what they are, that they are letters. We don't write letters, we're texts. So you might think, you sometimes have to think of it, this new generation anyway, as the first set of texts of the Apostle Paul to his friends, to the church at Corinth. And so, it's a communication. It's given out of love, it's instructions, it's Holy Spirit inspired, and it was meant to exhort, it was meant to encourage, and they were meant to rebuke. That's what these letters are. And when you read through all of these, when you read through Romans and the letters to the church at Corinth, 1st and 2nd, when you read through Ephesians and Galatians and 1st and 2nd Timothy and Hebrews and all of it, that's what these letters do. They exhort, they rebuke, and they also encourage. Because we all need that. We do. We all need that encouragement. But we could all stand a little rebuking, and then we all need a little exhortation too, a little reminder, a little remember the blessings of God. Remember to turn away from evil. Let's read this. We'll just start reading it. It's always good to hear the word. Faith comes by hearing, right? Well, let's get a little faith. Let's hear the word. 1 Corinthians 1. Paul, called as an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God and Sosthenes our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. So you see, this applies to us as well. With all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Now, for those that don't believe in Jesus Christ, for those that don't call on his name, this is not going to mean anything to you. Maybe it will convict you to seek him, to believe in his name, but not to stop there. You can't stop at belief. You have to keep on. That's the beginning. He goes on, verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift. awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And see, he's admonishing them. He's encouraging them. Hey, you were called. He goes on a little bit later. He's going to say, now be faithful. Keep in the faith. But he says, praise God for, God is faithful, whom you were called out of that darkness into Christ Jesus. Praise God that we still have this today. And as he said in verse 7, so that you're not lacking in any gift. Remember what we read earlier? God is a rewarder of who? Of all? No, of those who seek him. Those who he has called and that answer the call. That say, okay, Lord, doesn't mean you got to be a preacher on the side of the road every day. No, but that we seek him, that we hear his call in whatever, in wherever we are at in our life. Whether we're a student, whether we're a janitor, whether we're a construction worker, a welder, work in a manufacturing facility, a banker, doesn't matter. Wherever we are, whatever it is that we're doing, we're to seek him. Verse 10. Now I exhort you, brethren. Here's an exhortation. Now I exhort you, brother, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. And, he says this because he's heard there's been issues here. Now, we understand that this doesn't contradict. The Bible says there's going to be divisions. It's for testing. It's to see if you're going to continue on in divisions and in contention, or if you're going to share one another's burdens, and if you're going to consider others before self. We read on. I've been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. No, I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am of Paul, or I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. He says, has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? He goes on and says, I thank God I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one would say you were baptized in my name. Now I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. And so see, Paul here doesn't condemn baptism. I've had some people tell me that, oh, Paul condemned it right here, said I didn't baptize. That's not what he said here. Let's be honest with the word. He wanted to make sure as the church was growing that they understood that it is all Christ. It is all about Jesus Christ. That's what our pastor taught us. He was but a messenger. He was but a prophet to point us to Christ. And that's what we strive to continue to do, to bring others to Jesus Christ, to call on the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord and yours. And that's what he's talking about here, about not having the contentions. So he says, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And see, there's some out there today that are that way. I don't understand it all. We sure try to point them to baptism and show them the scriptures that we didn't see at one time, that you didn't see at one time. So don't damn them to hell because they don't see it today. Let's not have any contentions when it comes to that. But pray for our brother that haven't seen this yet. We encourage you. We're working on newsletter volume 6, and there's John's got a good testimony in there about that very thing, about baptism and about praying for others and planting seeds. It's a great testimony. I think it'll be an encouragement to you. We're hoping to get the last corrections done, maybe get it started printing tomorrow. We'd be glad to send you that newsletter. Our address, if you want that, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And you can also go online to our website at scriptures4america.org, and you can click on, there's a way you can send us an email right there. Click on send an email and request the newsletter. We can email it to you or mail it, either way. But he goes on and says, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. And you know, the word of the cross and Jesus Christ is foolishness to the world today. But all that tells me is that this word is true, and that the world is perishing, is falling away, is going to be destroyed if they feel and see and believe that the word of the cross is foolishness. Does that make sense? And so, we go on. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Amen. Hallelujah. That is the word of the cross. The word of the cross. Christ crucified, died for me and you, and then overcame death and came up out of that grave. Whew, it's good news. So that we can do that as well. So that we can get back into relationship with God. So we can seek Him again. So that we are rewarded. That's not why we seek Him. It's a perk. It's a fringe benefit. It's an extra. It's not why we do it. But God rewards those that seek Him. So says His Word. Verse 19 of 1 Corinthians. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. And of course that comes out of Isaiah 29. Where's the wise man? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? And you know, just because the world looks at foolishness and calls it knowledge, calls it education, calls denying God and His creation, just because they deny that and call it science, He says, the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. God sets that aside. He sits in the heavens and laughs. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. No, but we come to know Him through His Son, and only through His Son. Hey, let's take a phone call here. Hey, good evening. Welcome to 7 times 70.
Hi, Richard.
Hey, good evening.
Over the years, that one text that you just read there is one of the main attack points that the anti-Baptists like to use, and said, well, Paul said that he wasn't sent to baptize, so why should we? Well, there's a thing that the early church tells us about that, and that Paul and all the other apostles all traveled in groups of people. They weren't traveling singularly.
Sure.
And they... Paul's job was to preach, because that was his specialty. He had
yes.
other people doing the baptism.
Yes, absolutely. We do that at Branson. We do that at Branson. We go to Branson.
Sure.
I did not baptize anybody in Branson this year. But you know what? Eric did, and Derek did. And you know, last year in Branson, I did not baptize anybody. But other godly men did. And so, yeah, I'm glad you bring that up, because it's a good point. It's common sense.
Of course, different people have their specialties at what they're,
yes.
you know.
Yes, now I have baptized.
It doesn't mean that you can't or you shouldn't.
Right.
But
Paul says that here. And again, in the whole context, this is because he said there were divisions. It was the early days of the church. There were some that they would come up and say, oh, well, I follow Paul. And somebody else would say, oh, well, I follow Apollos. Well, I follow Cephas. Well, I follow Christ. And he's
You're
saying,
almost making idols out of
yes,
each one of
Yes, and he's
those.
Saying, you know, this is an exhortation. That's what it says. I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree in this, what I'm fixing to tell you about. Don't let these have divisions. Don't have these divisions come in, you know. And unfortunately, they still do come in at times, until we can go back and read and be convicted. And like he says here, Paul didn't say he didn't baptize. He was called to preach the gospel.
Well, he actually told you that he did, because he told you some
yeah.
of those other people.
Yeah.
That he...
He says, I thank God I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius and the household of Stephanus. So he did baptize. He was baptized.
Did you see why he said, thank God I didn't baptize none of you? It was because they would have used his baptizing them as an excuse to make something out of him.
So it would be, right. He did not want it to be a stumbling block among the brethren. He didn't. Very good point. I'm glad you called and shared that because you're right, it is. I have heard on, sometimes you flip through the radio and you'll hear a sermon going on from somebody and I've heard him say that right there. I thank God that I baptized none of you. And leave it at that. And say then use
because
that
of what they were doing with it.
Right. But I've heard these false preachers use that and pervert the word and take it out of context and say, Paul didn't baptize because you just need to believe, brother, just ask Jesus into your heart and it's all good. And they pervert the word. These dirty birds do. But that's why we read the word. That's why we're trying to encourage everybody to go back and read your word. Because the word is the truth. And, like he says in verse 23, we preach Christ crucified. If it's a stumbling block, it's a stumbling block. That's how it is. It's foolishness to the Gentiles. It says to Jews. And I think in that it means to the unbeliever. I think is what it means in that. Verse 23, we preach Christ crucified. To Jews, a stumbling block, and to Gentiles, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. And, of course, the Jews there, it does mean Judeans. It's those that are called that heard the call. And it is Christ crucified. But there's more to it. It's not that that's not enough. There's just more to the story. There is. And anyway... but no, good point.
Also,
good point. It is
that the person that's doing the baptism is the conduit or the tool of God.
Yes.
It is the Holy Spirit that is actually doing the baptizing.
Yes,
not to look at any particular person as being special because he's the one that did it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Even John the Baptist is a good example of that because Christ came to for him to baptize for John the Baptist to baptize him, and what did he say? I need to be baptized by you, not you by me. John recognized that I was, he was nothing to do that. We've counseled people. To baptize someone, we just try to get it from the Bible. Those that baptized were, as best we can tell, Christian men that had been baptized that were leading a Christian life. And that's the only requirements that we put out. We do not see in the Bible where women baptized. And so that's what we try to go by as a guideline. We see women were part of the group. They were part of they certainly received blessings. They were, they were with the apostles and disciples, but we don't read where they baptized. So we hold it to that today and we tell people that. We have instructions on this. We don't want to add to the word. We don't want to take away from it. Many people, and we're just about out of time this evening, but, many people ask us, well, what do we need to do to baptize? Or, can you come out here to, Poxawatchee, Michigan and baptize somebody for me? It's like, well, are you a Christian? Have you been baptized? Are you leading a Christian life? Yes. Well, you baptize them. And that's how that works. That's how the early church grew. Was that same way?
The Holy Spirit came down vertically into the first, bunch of apostles on Pentecost, and then you're instructed to go out and spread it horizontally.
Yes.
The vertical horizontal. You remember that message from the pastor from long, long ago?
I do. And that Holy Spirit still comes down upon us vertically. I believe that it does. But it doesn't come on all. It comes on others certainly a whole lot more than it does on me. But it might come on me more than it does on others. But when it does, we are to, just like you said, we are to spread it horizontally. That's how it grows. It is. Well, hey, thanks for the call. Thanks for the comments.
Okay.
God bless. You too.
Bye.
Well, folks, we are about out of time. I hope I didn't ramble on too much. Hope that you were got a little exhorting out of that and a little encouragement out of our talk tonight and reading the words. I know it encouraged me. Whew, it did. And, you know, maybe a little rebuking. We are to seek Him. He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. We don't seek Him for the reward, but we sure get it when we seek Him. Well, thanks for joining us. We do ask you again, keep Dr. Dan in your prayers, and as we get updates, we'll share them with you. We are working on the next newsletter, and so keep that in your prayers as well. We'll be doing the finals on that tonight and in the morning, and hopefully get that printing. And we do encourage you, join us Saturday morning for coffee. We'll have the phone lines open again. We encourage you to join us Saturday morning for coffee with the Wranglers, and that'll be at 7 a.m. Mountain Time on Saturday morning. And that's 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. on the East Coast. And it's a little early out on the West Coast, guys. It's 6 a.m. out there. But we do encourage you to join us, and we'll have the phone lines open. And then also, you can join us Sunday for church at the website, scripturesforamerica.org. Well, thanks again, and we'll go out with a different song tonight. We will. I got one here. I like this one. I hope you do, too. And our email, preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org.
God left to fight, standing for the man who is true.